We're going to get started this morning. We'll see if some more folks are rolling in. So, good morning. How is everybody? Sunday morning. It's a beautiful morning. It's a no-tie Sunday. So, I watched Kit in a suit last weekend, and I was getting up this morning. I'm like, eh, ain't happening. So, but I did put on a sport coat so that I'll respect the pulpit for Pastor Maddox on Sunday morning. So, we'll open with prayer this morning as the masses are rolling in, and then we'll get started. So if you would bow your heads in prayer with me this morning. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the opportunity this morning to open the Word of God, to study together, to learn together. Father, we just ask that the Holy Spirit will be with us this morning in our decisions to give, in our worship to you and your Son. And Father, in the opening of the Bible to learn what you want us to know. And Father, we just ask that these things are glorifying to you and to your Son who has given so much for us. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, we're going to start with, what do we start with? Song? Did we do song? We're going to do song this morning.
And with our numbers as they are, folks, you don't have to worry that your voice be drowned out. Would you join us this morning? If you have a hymnal nearby, would you turn to number 344, hymn number 344. There are four verses of I Know Whom I Have Believed. Turn to it here.
Believed?
Believed. Yeah, I think it sounds a syllable. 344. Yeah, let's see.
That was some amazing piano playing there. And so is that. So we're going to talk this morning before we jump into the announcements and prayer requests. I just wanted to go back to on our song this morning. It says, I know not how the Spirit moves, convincing men of sin, revealing Jesus through the Word, creating faith in Him. And so we're going to be talking a little bit about that this morning. I don't know if you guys planned that because you had my notes, or that is truly the amazing coordination of the work of God. So we will be talking about that a little bit this morning. Prayer requests and announcements. Do we have any prayer requests this morning? Yes, ma'am.
Yes, I have a friend that's someone from high school who lives here. She's just been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, lung cancer. And so definitely she and her husband need to be on the prayer list. They are believers.
Okay.
But this was came as a surprise. And so they're going to start treatment next week. They're doing the, putting in the, what do you call it? Not a stent, but the things.
A port.
Yes.
Port.
So they can treat her, and they're hoping, I think, to start the first one today before she leaves the hospital, and then she'll come back.
Okay.
Other prayer requests.
Gigi, yes.
Oh, her name is Gail.
Gail?
Gail McMahon.
Yes, Gigi.
I had a prayer request for my friend Catherine and her mom and her brother who was SOB. They didn't want to come up to the fold and take care of mom. Well, guess what? He's coming up to take care of mom now.
Okay. So, do we go before the throne of grace with Gigi's friend, the SOB, or do we?
It worked.
Mr. Jim will have to filter that out for me because I just realized something. So long. We'll come up with something. Any other prayer requests?
Not a request, but a prayer of thanksgiving and kind of a miracle. I put my brother-in-law on the prayer request last week. He was going in for a biopsy for possible recurrence of throat cancer. 3 weeks prior, he went in, and that's when they spotted the lump in his throat. And he's a 5-year survivor for this. So he was going down to a different doctor to take a look at this lump and confirm that it was cancer. Well, when they did the scan, the doctor compared the two scans, and he's like, I've never seen this. It's unexplainable. The tumor was gone. There was a scan done 3 weeks prior. There was a big lump in his throat. This time when they went back, there was nothing. And he said, I can't explain it. My sister's like, oh, I can. So that's prayer of thanksgiving. And then that was on Wednesday. And then Friday, he did have to go back. They did need to biopsy just so the doctor said, I can close this case. Because literally, he's the type of doctor that treats stage 4 throat cancer and then goes in and reconstructs the throat. That's what he told my sister. They really thought they were going in to look at some stage 4 throat cancer.
Wow.
He was told by 3 doctors that that's what that was coming his way. Unexplainable, but we all know the answer to that.
It's funny that when somebody who's spent years and years and years being educated on this sort of stuff can't determine them how they made something happen, then it's unexplainable. So, not that we all do it, but we all know the answer there. So, how's Thomas doing?
Well,
yeah?
He's having some knee problems right now, but it just started up about a week ago. Took him in to get an x-ray. The bone grafts are in place, so that took away that concern. Now he just needs to get into doing some therapy and exercises for it, which he hasn't gave himself time to do yet.
Okay. The life of a college student. Run, 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 right? And then it all slows down once they graduate. So, that was sarcasm. The, yes, sir.
I have 2 requests. Dinah Weber, wife of Gerald Weber, went to Wisconsin last Thursday to be with her elderly mother who was not expected to live very long. It's a severe case of Alzheimer's. And Gerald had requested prayer for the family. While they were up there, also some which are not believers, but because your mother was a believer, I got notice this morning she passed away Saturday morning. So just prayer for the family, for Diana, for the whole family, and also those that are not believers.
Okay.
And the second, Vicki Bell, who always does a lot of witnessing, had a chance to witness to a Pentecostal preacher the other day, and during the discussion, the preacher, he asked the pastor, can you lose your salvation? Yes, you can. what do you have to do to be saved? Well, we have to do this and this and this. And so Mickey said he'd straight on the gospel. Of course, as well out, the preacher accepted it. So we just pray the Holy Spirit will take that seed and do something with it.
We're going to talk a little bit more later on some of the challenges of things that are going on in the world of the young people. But pray for our young people. The topic of eternal security has come up multiple times over the last few weeks. There's been some kids that have attempted to take their own life that we are familiar with, and or our youth are friends with, and so it keeps popping up conversations. So even through some of extremely difficult, challenging circumstances, God still provides us the opportunity to give the gospel and continues to allow us to teach that He is the hope, even when you've made some really awful decisions or really, really painful decisions. So be in prayer for our young people, and specifically be in prayer, if you would, for the kids at McMillan Junior High School and Wiley East High School, as they are dealing with some young people in their schools that have decided they do not want to stick around any longer. So, any other prayer requests this morning? Yes, ma'am.
This question is, how is Jimmy doing?
Jimmy? Yeah, I saw him the other day. He's still weak and he's just still hanging on. He's just waiting day to day.
Where is he now?
He's home.
Is he at home?
He's
okay.
Home, yes. I went to see him the other day.
Okay. For Jimmy. Anything else? Yes.
Slam.
Yes. Preparations for Slam.
We officially have 42 young people going to Slam Camp, which is more than we've ever taken before. So some new great challenges with that, but please be praying for those kids, 7th through 12th graders is who it is. Plano, Wiley, and some other places too, and also for the staff that will be coming. Please be praying for that and all the logistics of that. And Phil will be our pastor teacher for that weekend, so be praying for him as he's preparing. And then I also just want to ask for prayers for our chili cook-off next weekend. Got to get that in there. Football, Super Bowl Sunday. So please just make that part of your festivities. Plan on coming. And if you guys would spread the word and just pray for support and that God would be glorified through our chili cook-off next week. So.
Yeah. And if you want to bring your friends, we can open up a pool. And we can come in and they can do some, not gambling, but pool type work, right? I'm just kidding. But yeah, make it part of the festivities for Super Bowl Sunday, since that's a pretty important time in our lives, right? With mourning for some on Monday and celebrations throughout the night for others. but yes, we will be having a good time on Super Bowl Sunday with our chili cook-off. So I think there's been some the gauntlet has been thrown to from Phil. Was the reigning champion, chili champion last year, and Mr. Langston has decided that he's going to knock him off that throne. Not that this would be anything other than a friendly competition, but so we're going to see what happens there. I think that's where Phil and Pat are this morning, is they're actually working on their chili. So, sorry, I didn't mean to call them out on the tape, but anything else this morning that we need to be in prayer about? In prayer for one another. We are all in the battle. We are all being challenged every day, sometimes with our own internal mental attitudes, sometimes with the challenges of the world, sometimes with just the sheer fact that we're busy, 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 busy. So please be in prayer for each other. The specific prayer request for me is that we will all be continue to be convicted to open the Word of God on a daily basis, so that we may study and learn and come to know, which we're going to be talking about today, what is the kingdom, the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And so fun stuff, amazing things, and we will we'll talk about that in a couple minutes. The Word of God declares, We're just going to say it the way I know how to say it, because I don't remember how to say it that way. Side note, because I'm going to digress. We have time. Trust me, I'm going to get you all out of here early today. It was pretty funny. Phil and I were talking about this last week. 16 years, Herman's been doing this exactly the same way every single time for 16 years. Maybe three or four words are different. Right? You get up and you have the, you say the entering prayer, and then you go to the song, and then you have the announcements, and then you. I've been coming for 16 years watching him do this, and then a couple of 3 weeks ago, he said, "Hey, well, you get up and do the announcement part and the kind of the opening part," and I said, "What do I do?" The decision about whether to give to the church and give to the ministries is a personal decision for the believers in Christ. It's about the church. It's about the congregation. It's about the membership. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit because He's the motivator and He's the decision maker. And if we listen to the Holy Spirit through faith, He will tell you what is appropriate and what is not. It's not about 10%. It's not about 20%. I like the way that John Hinn says it. 10% should be the starting. It's the entering argument. God gave you everything. Why are you only giving 10%? But that's John's thing. And he says that in love and in fun. But the offertory is for the believers and those that know how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so we will take an offering this morning to continue to support this church and the ministry and all the things that that go with it. Our tape ministry, how many tens of thousands of hits do we get a month on our website with all of the lessons?
Hits-wise, it's about 20,000 to 30,000, but the number of people, we're talking about 4,000.
So, yeah. So our congregation is bigger than what sits in this church, in this building, I should say, which is pretty awesome considering all the things that we do to support. Between the missionaries, between the young people, and between the online stuff, we've got a pretty amazing ministry that's going here. And the whole part of that is that we teach the truth. And so it's the truth that produces good fruit. And that's the whole point of the offering. So we will have an offering this morning. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, as we prepare for the offering, we just ask that you will guide us in our giving. You'll guide us in the things that you want us to do with this, and that it's glorifying to you. Father, we thank you for this time this morning and everybody being here in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, does everybody have the handout this morning? I will give some of these for y'all that were here this morning. Some of the analogies and some of the comments that I make will be used more than once. Right, Nick? So the disclaimer on the notes. I sent this over to Jim last night. Mr. Webb last night, and he did some of the printing. Your version is a lot larger than mine. So when I'm turning pages, don't assume you need to turn a page. Plus, I have some additional notes. In fact, you'll see as we're going through there, I don't have the same technique that Herman has with regards to, I'm just going to go through all of the details, so I will digress quite often. But you'll also see some things in there that might be pretty humorous, like, oh, pray here, right? If that starts out at the top and says, let's pray, that's me telling myself, hey, don't forget to do that part. And so we will start with a word of prayer, and then we'll jump right in and we'll see where we go from there. So, Heavenly Father, we pray this morning that the Holy Spirit will just guide my words and guide the understanding of the things we're going to study this morning. that they'll motivate us to continue to want to open the Word of God, to study, so that we can understand the mystery, we can understand who you are, we can be motivated by your love that provides us hope and perseverance in faith. And Father, we just we thank you for this time and for everybody taking the time to come this morning. And we pray for those that are not here, that they're safe in their travels or they're safe in their activities that are going on this morning. Father, we are so blessed for this congregation, and we just pray that these things are glorifying to you. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, so for y'all that weren't here this morning, I'm going to do a quick recap. I'm not going to cover everything, although we covered a good amount this morning. And so the at the 9:15, we kind of did an overview of, or well, we did a study of the sower. Right, the parable of the sower, which is in Luke chapter 8. So if you guys are looking in your notes, I did recognize this, that I already have a typo. So feel free to correct that. It's in Luke chapter 8, starting in verse 4. It's the parable of the sower. And for y'all that have read this before, in fact, I would say that most of us have read the parable of the sower before. It talks about the sower and the sower spreading the seed and then the different soils that the seed lands upon and what the result is. So it's a bit of, like we were talking about this morning, a cause and effect, right? So the sower, the parable of the sower is about the seed being spread amongst the different soils. The seed is the Word of God. And so the parable, if you read it in chapter 4, Luke chapter 4, verse 8, if you read the parable, it goes through and it gives, Jesus is talking and he's given the parable, and then right after that, he said, this is for the, you know, the ears that hear and the eyes that see to understand. But it's also, if you flip right down to the next part of the chapter, the disciples who were with him at the time said, okay, what's this mean? Right? And so he actually gives the interpretation of the parable. It's a great place where you can, if you want to get started in understanding that the Bible interprets the Bible, well, Jesus was pretty straightforward on this one. Here's the parable. Here's what it means. We touched on that this morning and had good conversation this morning about that. But the parable is about the sower who's sowing the seed in the different soils and the result. The seed is the Word of God. It's provided by the sower. The sower is the Holy Spirit. The sower was Jesus Christ at the time, but the teacher is the Holy Spirit, and we looked at that this morning. We, human race, we are the soil, right? So we are the soil, and there's four different types of soil. The soil that rejects the Word outright and is swept away in the devil's kingdom, right? The devil comes along and the soil is thrown on the ground. It never penetrates the ground, and the devil comes swooping in and takes it away. Unbelievers, they never get the opportunity, and they never accept Jesus Christ for who He is and believe in Him as their Savior. The Word of God just bounces right off of them. The second is the soil that accepts the Word, the Gospel, but roots never grow through the continued intake of the Word of God and the filling of the Spirit. They're going to heaven, but they aren't producing a thing. Their life will be interesting, is maybe a way we could put it, because God only knows what it will actually be. But suffice it to say, they're not producing the fruit that God is asking us to produce. Soil that accepts the Word begins to grow in the knowledge and in the power of the Spirit. But there are little roots and the weeds of life start to overtake. We all know folks like this, and sometimes we are this soil. Sometimes the worries of life, the pleasures of life, the temptations of life overwhelm even the fact that we have begun to study and enjoy and take in and grow in the Word of God. And so, all of a sudden, this fruit is minimal at best, right? And then there's the fertile soil that grows in the power of the Spirit. It continues to grow roots and get stronger and stronger and stronger. And for y'all that have never done any farming or have never had a garden, it's a pretty cool analogy, and we were kind of joking that Gigi is probably somebody really gets this because Gigi makes this incredible squash, or grows it, I should say. He probably makes it too. Well, we've all eaten some of it. But there's these different kinds of soil. And it's not that the seed is any different. It's the Word of God. It's the infallible, inerrant Word of God. But it's where does this seed land? On what's the soil does it land? And so as we're discussing today, about the sower and referring back to what we learned this morning. I want to continue on this, but the topic is why knowledge? Why do we pursue the knowledge of the Word of God? New Year's Eve, Herman started with, you know, or made some comments with regards to it's about the personal relationship with God. Absolutely true, and Kit's talked about that for the last couple of weeks. It's not knowledge for knowledge's sake, and there is a whole set of rewards at the end times when we are brought up into the air and stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and He evaluates us for the good fruit or the crop that we have produced, the good works. Very important. It is about the rewards that we receive. But knowledge for what sake? Knowledge for producing good fruit. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So why knowledge? To produce a crop, to produce the good fruit. I want to spend time this morning looking back at Second Peter 1, starting with verse 2. So kind of as an intro, I did ask everybody this morning to please turn in your Bible. I know I put it here. Some people have different versions. But I want to make sure that we are opening the Word of God, because this isn't about what I wrote on a paper. This is about what is in the Word of God, what has been printed in the Word of God and given to us from Him. It's a gift that we have it, so let's use it. So if you would turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. And I'm going to read this real quickly, and then we'll jump into it. We're going to start with verse 2. Actually, I'll just start with verse 1. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received faith of the same kind as ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. For by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, in order that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence, in your faith supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. And so, I want to spend a little bit of time talking about this this passage this morning. Right out of the gate, because, and I'm going to keep going back to this, so, you know, when you're taught in speech class, you tell them what you're going to tell them, and then you tell them, and then you tell them what you told them. Well, if you read my notes, I'm going to tell you what I told you. And so that's what we're going to do today. And if we get done in you know, record time, so be it. But I've only got so much to tell you today. And so I'm going to keep going back to what is the purpose of this conversation. I can promise you, Pastor Maddox would spend years on this passage. I got 45 minutes. All right. And so I want to keep coming back to what is it that I'm trying to get across to you this morning. Knowledge for what purpose? It's not knowledge for knowledge's sake. It's definitely knowledge for a personal relationship with Christ. It's definitely knowledge for the rewards in the end times. But knowledge for what purpose in this conversation today is knowledge for the production of the crop. When we get to the end, I hope you'll understand why I see this is incredibly important, is understanding knowledge for the purpose of delivering the crop. Because the crop is an amazing thing, and it's impactful and it's powerful. And it does, I mean, it's what drives the continued prosperity of this country. It's what drives the continued prosperity. When I say prosperity, I'm not talking about financial prosperity. I'm talking about the grace of God being bestowed upon this country, bestowed upon your family. It's the production of the crop. It's the good fruit. And that's what we're talking about. So out of the gate in verse 2, Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. Grace and peace multiplied to the knowledge of what? That's the first question that I had. So grace and peace being multiplied through the knowledge of what? It's the knowledge His divine power, the Holy Spirit, has granted us everything pertaining to life and godliness. These things are given to us. We accept them through faith in the Holy Spirit. I want to stop for a second. And for y'all that were here this morning, hopefully some of these things I say will just reinforce some of the things I talked about this morning, because I'm going to say a few of them again. But when we're talking about Jesus Christ, God the Father, giving to us everything pertaining to life and godliness, sometimes we blow through some of these words as we're reading and we forget who's saying these things, who's promising these things. Part of growing in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ and growing in God the Father through the power of the Holy Spirit is being able to come back and anchoring ourselves on who is it that is promising to give us all things that are pertaining to our life. This is coming from God. Right? We read the Bible, and because of everybody in the U.S. can have one of these, and generally everybody in the world, since the invention of the printing press, everybody can get one of these somewhere. Not everybody has one, but everybody can get one. And sometimes we start to forget about what this actually is. The awe-inspiring Word of God. And we're grounded in this. We as believers, if we've decided that God, if we've decided that we believe that God is who He says He is, and He is, and we believe that He will do the things that He says He does because of His faithfulness, then this ought to be awe-inspiring to us. This ought to blow our minds every time we open the Word of God. And sometimes we get into the mindset of, oh, let me read the book, right? And we all do it. I mean, this isn't condemning anybody here. We all do it. But I want to set the mindset of where we're talking about today. This is the awe-inspiring Word of God given to us by our Creator, the Creator of all things. And He says His divine power, the power that's given to us through the Holy Spirit, has granted us everything, everything pertaining to life and godliness. These things are given to us. He gives them to us. We accept them through the faith of the Holy Spirit. God will provide absolutely everything we need to do anything He wants us to do. He gives it to us. We just got to accept it. I love the statement, well, God doesn't need our abilities. He needs our availability. God just needs us to get out of His way and He'll give us everything we need. How many times do we decide, well, but I want that, or I want that. God, you want me to have that, but I want that. Right? How much peace do we gain from knowing and trusting that God, the Creator of all things, the omnipotent God, through His grace, has granted us everything pertaining to life and godliness? And we're not going to spend a lot of time on godliness, but it's going to refer to it back in a few minutes in the passage where it talks about moral excellence. And so, again, I'm not trying to go through every word of this passage because I just don't have time this morning, but I want to make sure that we're understanding the message that's coming from here. And it says, I put on my notes, how would peace be multiplied if we didn't understand the love and power of God and that He will provide everything pertaining to life? Where would it come from? Where would this peace come from if we have no idea of who God is or what He's willing to do for us or who He is in His character, that He's faithful? Conversation has been had up here and the study has been had up here. Who are we? I mean, what power is there in our faith if we don't understand who God is? Right? If we have no idea who He is, where are we going to be able to understand the things that God will give us? Why would we put our faith in something we don't understand? Why would we have the ability to have the peace that God can give us if we don't understand who He is or we don't know anything about Him? And so how much stress do Christians put on themselves to achieve godliness on our own because they don't understand what God can and will do for us through His grace? How many of us put stress on ourselves to provide our own daily needs because we don't understand that God takes care of them for us? Let's see. How many years did the Israelites run around in the desert being given food every single day, and they complained about the fact they weren't sure what food they're going to get tomorrow? Amen on that one, right? We all do it. God has provided us everything we need today, and yet we'll spend tonight being worried about what's going to happen tomorrow. Guilty as charged. How do we know what everything pertaining to life and godliness is? Through the true knowledge of Him who called us. Knowledge from the Holy Spirit through receiving of the Word of God. So what do we know? Through the true knowledge of Christ, we learn the precious and magnificent promises which multiply our peace and grace. So I'm working my way through the passage here. So Peter refers to the promises in 1 Peter chapter 1. So as we're working through here, it says, For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, in order that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature. So this is in verse 4. And so what are these precious and magnificent promises that God has provided to us? And so this is actually referring back to his first epistle that he wrote, his first letter that he wrote. And it says, as he's referring back here, it says, First Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and defiable and will never fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. So what are these promises? The promises. Born again, a new creation to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's one of the promises. Right? The God who says He'll take care of everything and provide us the ability of having godliness is the same God who promises us being born again through the resurrection of His Son. He will protect us by the power of God through our faith. Right? And so, through these promises and the enabling power of God, verses 3 in 2 Peter chapter 1, we may become partakers of the divine nature. What in the world does it mean to become a partaker of the divine nature? This comes back to, why are we here? Why do we study? Why do we spend time in the Word of God? Part of it is to become part of the divine nature. We're partakers in the divine nature. And so in 1 John 4, you guys would flip to 1 John 4. Hold your place in 2 Peter, because we'll come back. And we're going to start at verse 13. It says, this is how we know that we live in Him and He in us, partakers of the divine nature. He has given us the Spirit, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they live in God. And so we know and rely on the love of God, the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how we love. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we may have confidence on the day of judgment in the world. In this world, we are like Jesus. The divine nature. When we are partakers of the divine nature, filled with the Spirit, filled with the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Indwelt. But when we are partaking of the divine nature, we have the power to escape the corruption caused by the lust and evil desires of the world. That's part of being partakers of the divine nature. Right? It says right here, sorry, I told you guys to keep your spot, and I lost mine. So it says in verse 4, for by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, in order that by them we might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. When we are partakers of the divine nature, filled with the Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit is in us. We all know this. The Holy Spirit, we are indwelt with the Holy Spirit when we are, when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ. When we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. We are indwelt. We become partakers of the divine nature when we are accepting trusting the Holy Spirit to guide us. That's the partaking. Partaking doesn't mean we're just to have something. It means we are partaking of it. We are consuming it. Moving to verse 5, which describes the function of the divine nature. So why is this important to us? For this very reason, being a partaker of the divine nature, also with all diligence in your faith supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence knowledge, and in your knowledge self-control, and in your self-control perseverance, and in your perseverance godliness, and in your godliness brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness love. Who's that sound like? It's Christ. All of these things, being a partaker of the divine nature, is about being transformed in the likeness of Christ. Our life, the purpose, the reason of continuing to intake Bible doctrine on a daily basis is so that we will continue to understand who He what is, so we have the ability to have motivation and desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit, so that we can continue to be developed into the likeness of Christ, which ultimately, what did Christ deliver? Everything. He delivers the crop. That's the whole point. That's why we're here. We aren't going to break down all of these verses because we've talked about some of these in the past and different characteristics of Christ and of the divine nature. We could jump into Galatians chapter 5 and talk about the filling of the Holy Spirit. If you stop and take every one of the fruit of the Spirit, right? And I'm so glad this is up here because I always forget one. Right? It's on the board right over here. You know, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That is the culmination of Christ. That is the culmination of Christ. In His humanity, that is the culmination of Christ. Why do we want to be like Christ? To deliver a crop. We want to be like Christ to deliver the good fruit. That's the good fruit. That's how we get there. And so, like I said, we're not going to break down every one of these verses, but they are describing the function of the divine nature and our transformation to being like Christ. I want to quote something from the Bible Knowledge Commentary, which I put in here for y'all. Just kind of a summary. The function of the divine nature, he's specifically talking about this passage in Peter. And they say, in this beautiful paragraph, which I just read to you above, Peter orchestrates a symphony of grace. To the melody line of faith, he leads believers to add harmony in a blend of seven Christian virtues, which he lists without explanation or description. I love the way, for y'all, I know Mr. Webb probably understands this more than I do, being a musician, but to have, you know, this whole thing of having a, the orchestration of the symphony of grace. What a beautiful way to put this. It's a symphony of grace with a melody line of faith. Right? That leads believers to add harmony in a blend of seven Christian virtues. The divine nature and partaking in the divine nature is the part about where we start becoming transformed into the likeness of Christ. Which ultimately ends up when we are in our resurrection body, face to face with the Lord, that transformation is complete. We are in Christ for eternity. And so far I want to kind of circle back around because I want to keep coming back to what I'm trying to get to in today's passage. The goal of knowledge is to produce a crop. That comes from the sower, is where we talked about this morning, the parable of the sower. The goal of knowledge, the goal of continuing to understand, is so that we can continue to have faith, which delivers us the power, the fruit of the Spirit, which delivers us the good fruit. It's all done through the power of the Holy Spirit. This isn't about how much knowledge we have so we can go out and do cool stuff, right? But without any knowledge, why would we ever be motivated to be in the Holy Spirit? Through our knowledge, we know and trust that God has provided all things for our daily lives through the filling of the Spirit. Through knowledge, we understand we are born again and are protected by the power of God through our lives. Through our knowledge, we understand that as we are transformed to be more like Christ through the power of the Spirit, we are no longer slaves to the power of sin. The lust of the world don't control us anymore. And as we overcome the power of sin through the filling of the Spirit, we begin to embody the characteristics of Christ. Moral excellence, knowledge, and I put in here epinosis, knowledge that affects change, self-control, perseverance of faith, brotherly kindness, and love. And so this is the path to spiritual maturity. I think I have it here. Let me make sure I don't get ahead of myself. I have to come back to it in a second. So if you would turn with me for a moment back to keep your place, and I'll keep mine. Back to 1 Corinthians, and we're going to look at chapter 2 for a moment. And I know I'm going to get ahead of myself, but I want to go ahead and put it in here. So 1 Corinthians chapter 2, talking about spiritual maturity. See if this begins to flow for us here. 1 Corinthians, and we're going to go to chapter 2. Let me find where I put it in here. I put them all in red, so I knew when to turn to something. Are yours all in red? Oh, okay. Probably not supposed to tell that part, right? So, all right, we're just going to start in the beginning of chapter 2. And it says, "And when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God, for I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." It's not about the preacher. It's not about how much the preacher knows. This is Paul speaking. He says, "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. Yet we do not speak wisdom among those who are mature, a wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age have understood. For if they have understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. But just as it is written, things which the eye has not seen and the ear has not heard, for which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love Him. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God." Our spiritual maturity comes from understanding the depths of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what it's all about. It's not about knowledge for knowledge's sake. It's about knowledge which leads us back to Christ, which leads us back to the Holy Spirit, which leads us back to what does God want to do for us? What does God have? What is the will of God in our lives? We have the opportunity, back to this awe-inspiring book, God has given us the mysteries of the kingdom. God has given us the depths of His knowledge. It's available to us through the power of the Holy Spirit and through the Word of God, the Bible. And so, when we are partakers of let me make sure I'm on the right page. So, this is the path to spiritual maturity. And I know that Pastor Maddox has spent significant amount of time teaching 1 Corinthians and has talked about these things, but the path to spiritual maturity. But moving to verse 8 in our passage, if you flip back there. So it says, For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, meaning the characteristics, the transformation to be more like Christ, the divine nature, for if these qualities are yours and increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If these qualities are yours implies that they can be yours, but it's a choice. We all decide, right? We all decide if these qualities are going to be ours. We all decide whether or not we're going to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't force us to do any of this stuff. He doesn't force us to come to church. He doesn't force us to open the Word of God. He doesn't force us to trust the Lord. I mean, trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. He doesn't force us to trust the Holy Spirit as our power in the world. It's our choice. And it says also, for if these qualities are yours and increasing, there is no standing still in our spiritual journey. It's kind of like working out. I was just looking around to see if anybody got that analogy. I had to really stop and think about this. Working out, what's that? So it's kind of like working out, right? We are either increasing our muscle strength and endurance or we're losing it. There is no standing still. There's no standing still in our spiritual journey. We're either moving towards maturity or we're moving away from it. We're either growing roots and continuing to use the analogy of the sower, we're either growing roots and continuing to grow and produce fruit, or we're not. We're being overwhelmed by the weeds, right? We're being overwhelmed by the thorns. We're being overwhelmed by the desires of our life. We got to make a choice. It comes back to our choice. It's either increasing or it's not. We are either increasing our strength, muscle strength, or we are not. And endurance. What is the true knowledge that we're talking about in here? So it says, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. What is this true knowledge? The true knowledge is epinosis, right? And so there's gnosis, knowledge that is educational in purposes, right? We go to school. Talk to this with the young people all the time. You go to school and you learn math, right? I can add 1 + 1 = 2, or I can do trigonometry and understand sines and cosines. Epinosis is I apply that to my life and it affects change. I can actually use the sines and cosines to figure out how to build a particular bridge or a plane, and I can use the trigonometry to do something, to produce something. And it says, what is the true knowledge? Epinosis. It is not knowledge for knowledge's sake. It is knowledge activated through the power of the Holy Spirit to effect a transformation in our lives. It's a partaker of the divine nature. We don't affect it. The knowledge is activated by the trusting and the faith in the Holy Spirit to effect a change in our life, which produces a continuing transformation to the likeness of Christ. Is there a goal in mind? Absolutely. There's a goal in mind. To be like Christ. I love the bracelets that run around, you know, that a lot of the kids have them, WWJD, and it's in cool fancy letters. I guess that makes it really cool, right? So it's in cool fancy letters, and it's the rubber band bracelets, and it says, WWJD, what would Jesus do? Man, what a fantastic question. What if you don't know the answer? I mean, if we don't know anything about the Word of God, if we don't know anything about the characteristics of Jesus Christ or the love of God or that God is love, when we ask the question, what would Jesus do? Okay, Holy Spirit, I'm trusting you to let me know what Jesus would do. But there's no repository of anything to base it on. What do we get? Well, go read the Bible. That's what Jesus would do. Right? Obviously, he wrote the Bible, so it's a little bit of a joke. But he didn't actually have to read it. He kind of knew it inside and out. That's the question that is at hand here. What is this true knowledge? It's knowledge that, not for knowledge's sake, but activated through the power of the Holy Spirit to effect a transformation in our lives. When these qualities are in us and increasing through the filling of the Spirit, we are producing good fruit, or the crop that is referred to in the parable of the sower. I'm going to just read this for John 15:5. It says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me, in the divine nature, in the filling of the Spirit, if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Well, how do we know how to remain in Him? We have to learn it. How do we know, or how are we motivated to be in Him on a regular basis, on a day-to-day basis? We got to know something. We got to know something, and then we're active, and then God continues to convict our souls to learn about Him, to learn about what it is that He has done for us, about the love of God, so that we can trust. We will have motivation to trust in the Holy Spirit, to continue to transform ourselves. Excuse me, to continue to be transformed into the likeness of Christ. So you contrast this with verse 9. If you want to look at verse 9, it says, "For he who lacks these qualities, partakers of the divine nature, perseverance, right, brotherly love, ultimately love, it says, for he who lacks these qualities is blind and short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins." So when we go to the point in our lives where we start to get overwhelmed with the weeds, we start to get overwhelmed with the thorns, the things in our lives that will shadow out the sun, and we stop growing, what happens? We become very short-sighted. We become blind. So we become blind and short-sighted at times in our lives. And this is not me preaching. This is me saying, hey, we all do it. Every single one of us at some point in our life has had a moment where the thorns and the weeds and the temptations and the things that are not even the sins, right? But the things of the world have overcome our desire to really get into the Word of God and understand and learn and spend time in prayer and spend time understanding who God is and studying. We all have it. As I referenced this morning, I love when I walk through the office for months and months and months. I would walk through the office, somebody would ask me how I was doing. I would say, I'm doing good, but busy. Busy, busy, busy. That's a great statement. I'm extremely busy. Our lives are extremely busy. But are they too busy? Is the busyness of our lives continuing to make us blind and short-sighted? We all forget the grace we have been shown through the love of God. Right? Sometimes we forget. Sometimes it just becomes routine. God sent His Son to die on the cross for us. When you say it like 1,000 times and you tell the kids to memorize it, and we get, you get to the point where John 3:16 rolls off your tongue like it's like, I don't even have to think about it. It's exactly what we're doing. We're not thinking about it. We're just saying it. Sometimes we got to stop and go back to what is it that He did on the cross for us? What is it that He did, and what is it that He promises us? We are all challenged by the craziness of this world and our own desires. Every moment we spend out of the filling of the Spirit, we've lost an opportunity to produce crop. We've lost an opportunity to produce good fruit. Have you ever stopped and wondered what, when you're sitting in your house and maybe you've opened the Bible and you've started reading or you're praying, or you ever stop and wonder, what fruit am I producing? I'm in the power of the Spirit. What fruit am I producing? I don't know. Do you know? Probably not. Does God know? Absolutely. The power of prayer. Spending time in prayer produces amazing fruit. Right? It's the crop. Praying for others. Just sitting in your house being filled with the Spirit. Not even doing anything else. Just sitting in your house being filled with the Holy Spirit produces fruit. Produces fruit. It produces fruit in you that can be used in the future. It produces fruit in others when you're praying for others. And then you walk out of the house, because I like to tell the kids that, hey, by the way, faith doesn't mean you sit on the park bench and do nothing. Faith means God says go over there, you go over there. Faith says go pick up that for that person, you go pick up that for that person. Good works. You can work your butt off doing good works. Right? I'm allowed to say that, right, Nick? I just can't say jackass. Sorry, I had to add a little humor there. So the context of that comment, now that I've completely lost train of my thought. I was teaching the other day, and I was talking about somebody being a jackass to these kids. And I said, hey, that's in the Bible. So for the next 30 minutes, all we talked about was, where does it say jackass in the Bible? I said, donkey, it's the same thing, man. So needed to inject a little humor there because I was getting a little heavy. Every moment we spend out of the filling of the Spirit, we've lost the opportunity to produce good fruit. Every moment. And so it's not about knowledge for knowledge's sake. It's about knowledge so that we can produce the fruit through the power of the Holy Spirit and we're motivated to go back. And so I want to go back to the original question and summarize and see how this flows for you. The weed is the Word of God. Sorry. The seed. That could really mess up the whole meaning of that parable. The seed is the Word of God and is provided by the sower. We are the soil. There's four types of soil. Soil that rejects the Word outright and is swept away into the devil's kingdom. The unbelievers. Soil that accepts the Word of God, the Gospel, but the roots never grow through the continued intake of the Word and the filling of the Spirit. They're going to heaven, but they produce nothing. There's soil that accepts the Word, begins to grow in knowledge and in the power of the Spirit, but there's little roots and the weeds of life overtake the crop. They might produce some. They'll get rewarded in the end times. Okay? But the Word of God is overtaken by the weeds of the world. That's a choice. And then there's the fourth soil, which is fertile soil that grows in the power of the Spirit, continues to grow roots and get stronger and stronger. Through continuous intake of the Word of God, the promises God has made to us become real in our life. The promise of being born again as a new creation in Christ becomes real, becomes a knowledge that we know that affects a change in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. The promise of the power of God protecting us in our lives gives us peace and comfort and the filling of the Spirit. All those things that come from the power of God are given to us, are promised to us, and we can lean on those and live by those through our life. And as we continue to grow in the knowledge of the Word of God through the filling of the Spirit, our perseverance of our faith continues to increase. Straight out of Romans 3, which we've studied in the past. At this point, we can exalt in our tribulations. We talked this morning. A brand new believer exalting in the tribulations? Based on what? I mean, how do you exalt in your tribulations isn't the means to the end. It's the result of the intake of Bible doctrine. It's the study of the Word of God. It's the knowledge, it's the living in the power of the Holy Spirit. And through that, understanding the hope that we have, it creates the perseverance of our faith and the character of us being made more and more like Christ, which allows us to understand our hope and where we place our hope so that it produces love, which love is what produces our fruit, produces the crop. And so we continue to grow in our knowledge of the Word of God through the filling of the Spirit. Our perseverance of faith continues to increase. Because of this increase in our character, the increase of the perseverance of faith, because of the hope that we have, because of the love that we feel from God, at that point we can exalt in our tribulations. If we're all running around and crazy stuff is going on in our lives and it's absolutely miserable and we run around and go, you know, have no basis for exalting in our tribulation, what value are we adding? But if we run around and we understand that life is full of really crazy, mean, hard things, and we walk around with the love of God for other people, with joy in our hearts, with peace and kindness, we're producing fruit because people are going to look at us like we're crazy and give us the opportunity to tell them, hey, what am I sweating here? Why would I worry about this stuff? God has it under control. What a great witness. We are partakers of the divine nature. Sorry, let me make sure this flows again. I keep digressing. As we continue to grow in our knowledge of the Word of God through the filling of the Spirit, our perseverance of our faith continues to increase, at which point we will be able to exalt in our tribulations. We become partakers of the divine nature. We are being transformed into the likeness of Christ. Our transformation in the likeness of Christ continues to bring about change in our spiritual character. Stronger and stronger roots. Moral excellence. Knowledge that affects change. Self-control. Perseverance of faith. Brotherly kindness. And love. The love of God that flows through us produces good fruit. Sometimes, I don't know whether it's from historical concerns with the way things have been taught, we oftentimes get all bent out of shape when we talk about good works. I don't know why good works is a negative term. As long as we understand what it is, right? Absolutely, we should go out and produce good works. As long as we understand that the good works is produced by God the Father through the filling of the Spirit, through the love of God that flows through us. Why in the world wouldn't we want to go? Why would we shy away from producing good works? Doing good works. You betcha. We ought to be after it. The love of God flowing through us produces good fruit, the crop. Then when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, our crop will be evaluated. So 2 Corinthians 5:10, and I'll just read this to you. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Will we be evaluated for the good works and the good fruit that we've produced? You betcha we will. It says it right here. Judgment seat of Christ. Rewards will be divvied out. What an awesome moment to be able to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and say, God, here's what you did through me. I present it to you. Now tell me what I get. So here's the question I'll leave with this morning. Are you good with the soil that you're in? Are you good in the soil? Are you producing the crop that you want to produce with strong roots for sustained growth? Or are you short-sighted and blind to the plan of God? We'll close with a word of prayer in a second. But I want to talk to something that I mentioned this morning already. We get rewards at the end of times when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ based on the good works and the fruit that's produced. We get to lay our fruits that God produced through us down before Him. And that should be motivation to every single one of us. And Herman talked about it last time. That absolutely is a motivation. God would not reward us for the things that we are doing in time if it wasn't important to Him. So yes, that is a motivation. But I'm going to throw out another motivation. The crop itself. The crop itself. What are we producing? Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, producing through us through the love of God. The crop is the motivation in time. The example I'm going to use is the same one I used this morning because it's powerful. Two kids in the last 2 weeks, kids that we know, people that we know, or people that are friends with them that we know, teenagers, attempted to commit suicide at Wiley last 2 weeks. Tried to take their own life. What a horrible place these kids must be in their life at 14, 15, 16, 17 years old to want to take their own life. And y'all, it's an epidemic. It's happening all over the place. Two kids in Wiley. I mean, why Wiley, you know? But months before that, it was Plano. Months before that, it was other kids. It's everywhere. And it's not just the kids, y'all. It's not just the kids. People are lost. What is the fruit we get to produce? Through the power, the filling of the Holy Spirit, through the knowledge that we have, through the motivation and the love that God pushes through us, through the filling of the Spirit, we get to help present to these kids. This happens to be the ministry that we're in. We get to present to these kids the hope that is the Lord Jesus Christ, the hope that is God the Father, the hope that is on that board right there, the fruit of the Spirit. That's what we get to produce. He produces it through us, let's be clear. That's the motivation. That's the motivation every single one of us. To look at somebody who is so lost, somebody asked, you know, a few weeks ago, what about, you know, do the people in ISIS get to go to heaven? I sure hope so. they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, he promises that they do. What kind of fruit would be produced if somebody could get over there and get a hold of those people? Right? Fruit isn't produced just for now. It's produced for eternity. And that's our motivation. Our motivation is to get a hold of these kids, to get a hold of these people that are lost, to get a hold of these people that don't understand anything about who God is and the love that he has, and share it with them. God produces the fruit. We can be the mechanism to be there with them. And so that's what it's all about for me. And I hope that that's what it's about for y'all. And so, knowledge for what purpose? Knowledge to produce fruit. Knowledge to understand and be motivated to continue every single moment of every day to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. Are there side benefits? You betcha. All that fruit that we produce, that's produced through us, we get to live in it every minute of every day. Perfect joy. Stop and think about it. Perfect love and perfect joy every minute of every day is available to us. And so as we close this morning, I wanted to refer back to a prayer. I guess this is kind of a setup for Herman coming back in and teaching in Colossians next week. But I couldn't think of a better prayer to close with, and I wrote this in your notes. But it's from Colossians 1, verse 9. And I'll read this in a closing prayer, and then we'll be dismissed. And this is Paul praying for the believers in Philippi. God, fill me with the knowledge of your will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that I may live a life worthy of you and please you in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to your glorious might, so that I may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to you, who has qualified me to share in the inheritance of your holy people in the kingdom of light. For you have rescued me from the dominion of darkness and brought me into the kingdom of the Son you love, in whom I have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. Amen. Thanks y'all for being here this morning.